All right, so our plan to tonight, even though we're going to do a shorter session, is an ambitious plan in terms of what we want to cover. I actually want to cover two prokim tonight, two chapters of Tehillim, Nun Dalid and Nun Hey, chapters 54 and 55. And besides the fact that Nun Dalid in particular, 54 and 55, besides the fact that Nun Dalid is a shorter one, but the theme of Nun Dalit and Nun Hey is actually a very, very similar theme. Both chapters of Tehillim relate to events in the life of David HaMelech's life, in the life of David HaMelech, and both chapters deal with the theme of betrayal, where David HaMelech is betrayed by those who are closest to him. So there's a certain similarity between both chapters and their themes, and I think we'll see that as we go through the respective prakim. So Perek Nun Dalid starts off as follows. Lam Natseach B'Neginos. This is for the choir master on the instrument known as the Neginos. Maskil L'David. Again, Maskil, a lesson which is taught by David HaMelech. This is not just a song, but a life's lesson from which we can learn. And the occasion that prompted the writing of this chapter of Tehillim was Bevo HaZifim Vayomru L'Shaul Halo David Mistatir Imanu. When the residents of Zif, the desert of Zif, came and told Shaul, behold, David is hiding with us. And this references the story which is told in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perachov Dalet, and it's very similar to a story which we reference back in Perek Nun Beis in Tehillim. And chronologically, Nun Beis comes before Nun Dalet, not just because Nun Beis comes before Nun Dalet, but the story which is related in Nun Beis comes before Nun Dalet. Nun Beis talks about the treachery of Doeg HaAdomi, that individual, that Talmud Chacham, who was part of the court of Shaul HaMelech, who saw David go to refuge to the city of Nov, where the Mishkan was and where the Kahanim were settled. And essentially, Doeg went and tattled to Shaul HaMelech that David had run away there to refuge. And the end of the day was that the entire city of Nov was brutally massacred, all of the Kahanim, men, women, and children who lived there. After escaping from Nov, David locates himself in what the Pasuk refers to as the Midbar Zif, as the desert of Zif, occupied by people known as the Zifim. And the Zifim apparently are from Shevet Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda. Now that's significant because David himself is from Shevet Yehuda. And here, basically, David is turned into Shaul by members of his own Shevet. Right? So there's a tremendous sense of treachery and betrayal that accompanies that. Members of my own extended family, my own tribe, are turning me into Shaul HaMelech. What's going on over here? The Pasuk in Shmuel recounts how when David went to settle in the desert of Ziph, the Ziphim, or some of the Ziphim, immediately ran to Shaul and said, guess what? We've got a prize for you. David is with us. Shaul thanks them. He pursues David into the desert of Ziph. And David essentially narrowly escapes being captured by Shaul and his men and, you know, lives to fight another day. You know, runs away and, you know, manages to escape the clutches of Shaul. But this whole incident makes an impression on David HaMelech, or David, to the point where he writes a Kapitel Tehillim expressing the sense of frustration that he has, that people, members of his own Shevet, would be so ready and so willing to turn him in to Shaul who's pursuing him.
Is it possible that because Shmuel was going to Yishai's family, and the other brothers were not showed them, and maybe some of these people were partly like with the other brothers.
Well, that could be, right. There was dafka resentment because they were from Shevet Yehuda. That could very well be. You know, sometimes the hardest people to deal with are the family members, right? That's sometimes how it is. So David expresses the following. Elokim, Pasuk Gimel, B'shimcha Hoshieni, save me through your name. Uvigvuroscha sidineni, and judge me favorably with your gevura, with your might. It's interesting to note that here, as well as through most of this chapter in Tehillim and most of the next chapter of Tehillim, the name by which God, by which David appeals to God, is the name Elohim. And Elohim, as we know, refers to God's attribute as a judge, the attribute of strict justice. Basically, David is saying, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm not asking for your mercy over here. On the merits, I believe that I should be exonerated. On the merits, I believe that I'm right, and that these Zifim who are running after me are really deserving of a strong reaction by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'shimcha Oshieni, with your name Elohim, your name that represents justice, save me. Elohim, again, Shmat Filosi, hear my prayer. Ha'azino, listen, Le'imrei Fi, to the words of my mouth. Kizarim Kamu Olai, because strangers have risen up against me. Strangers? I mean, these are, right, these are members of his own family, right? What do you mean strangers? So, you know, it could be that he's saying it semi-sarcastically, you know, strangers, quote-unquote, you know, my third cousins are now, you know, going up against me, you know, they've made themselves into strangers to me. Or the Mitzvah David suggests over here, these people are strangers to Shaul. They have no, as they say nowadays, they have no skin in this game. You know, they don't have to be, it's not like they are members of the tribe of Binyamin, which is Shaul's tribe, and somehow they're pledging their loyalty to Shaul. These people, they're getting involved in a fight which is not their fight. What are they getting involved for? Right? Kizarim kamu alai, strangers have risen up against me. Va'aritzim, and forceful people, bikshu nafshi, they seek to undermine my soul. Lo samu Elokim l'negdam, and they did not place God opposite them. Selah. Hine Elokim ozerli. Behold, Elokim, God, will be a source of strength for me. He will help me. Adokoi, my master, b'somche nafshi, he will give his support to those people who support my soul. Meaning, David HaMelech expresses confidence that although Hashem is ultimately the one who's going to help him, thank God I have friends, you know, human beings, who are supporting me as well, and Hashem will give those human beings the strength to be able to support me in my quest to ultimately become the king. Yoshiv hara l'shorirai, God will return back the evil to those who look at me, who are watching me. The shorirai is related to the words of the Mefarshim, Ashurenu, which is a pasuk in Chumash, Ashurenu v'lo ato, Ashurenu v'lo karov, you know, to look at something, to stare at something. God will return the evil to those who stare at me and are watching me. Ba'amiticha hatzmisein, destroy them through your truth. In other words, David HaMelech again says, I know I'm right. I'm not asking for clemency or to go beyond the letter of the law. I know that I'm correct over here. Binedava ez b'chalach, when my enemies are destroyed, I will voluntarily bring a sacrifice to you, Hashem. Odesh shimcha yud ke vav ke kitov. Then I will give thanks to your name, Yud Ke Vav Ke, because you are good. And I think this shift, you know, the one time that the kapitel employs the name of God, Yud Ke Vav Ke, as opposed to Elohim, the shift is very, very deliberate. Up until now, David HaMelech has been pursued. He calls on God as Elohim to judge and to punish those people who are pursuing him. But now, in Pasuk Ches, once the enemy has been destroyed, David HaMelech is now able to return to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where God is the Midas HaRachamim, the attribute of mercy, you know, where God is Yud Ke Vav Ke. We don't like to cast God in the role of the vengeful God who's destroying enemies. Yes, that's necessary from time to time. But, you know, as a general rule, we like to see the Ribbono shel Olam as Yud Ke Vav Ke, as the one who's merciful and bestowing mercy. And that's what's being described over here. Oda Shimcha Hashem, I will thank your name Hashem Ki Tov, because it is good. Ki Mikol Tsara Hitziloni, God has saved me from all difficulties. Uva Oivai Ra'asa Eini, and my own eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. So this relatively short capital Tehillim, this relatively short chapter of Tehillim, describes the sense of tremendous frustration that David HaMelech feels at being betrayed in this particular way. And, you know, he calls on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish the enemy. But at the same time, you know, his worldview is not one where God is just constantly striking down enemies and destroying them. He looks forward to a time where he's able to return to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which, you know, is based on the God who's the God of mercy, the God who's described by the name Yudkei Vavkei, not by the punitive name of Elohim. That's installment number one in the, you know, these chapters of betrayal that David HaMelech is describing. We turn to the next chapter, and the sense of betrayal becomes that much more acute. If David HaMelech felt betrayed before by the Zifim, who were essentially family, you know, they were members of his own Shevet, how much more so in the following chapter of Tehillim? So this is Nunhei, chapter 55. Lam natzeach b'neginos maskil l'David. Right? Again, starts off the same way. Right? This is a psalm for the choir master. It should be played on the neginos, and it's a maskil, it's a lesson taught by David HaMelech. And let's read into the psukim a little bit before we give the historical context. In the previous chapter, the historical context is very clear. It says it right at the beginning of the chapter. Here, we have to guess a little bit as to what's being described over here, but all of the mefarshim, basically, as one, provide the same historical context for understanding this capital Tehillim. Ha'azino Elohim tfilasi. Again, Elohim, God of justice, listen to my prayer. Ve'al tisalam mitchinosi. Don't ignore my supplication. Hakshivoli, listen to me. Va'aneni, and answer me. Orid b'sichi ve'ohima. I will groan in my pain and I will moan. That phrase, by the way, Arid b'sichi v'ohima, which, again, I translated, I will groan in my pain and I will moan. I will wail in my pain and I will moan. There are other ways to translate it as well, but I think that's the most common translation. That that refrain is utilized by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in one of his poems, one of his kinos, which we recite on Tisha B'Av, describing the Churban, describing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That he uses that phrase as the refrain, Arid b'sichi v'ahima, right? Again, taken from David HaMelech, I'm going to moan and groan over the things that have happened to me. What specifically? Mikol oyev, from the sound or the voice of the enemy. B'vnei okas rasha, because of the distress which is caused to me by the rasha, by the evil person. Kiyomitu alai oven, they bring upon me iniquity. Uva'af yistemuni, and they hate me, or he hates me, with a tremendous anger. Because of this anger which is displayed towards me by the rasha, libi yochil bekirbi, my heart is frightened inside of me. The emos moves naflu alai, and terrors of death have fallen upon me. Yira vorad yavovi, fear and trembling comes into me. Vatichaseni palotsus, and I am covered over by terror. Va'omar, and I said, Mi yitein li aver kayona, I wish that I had wings like a dove. O ufa ve'eshkona, I would fly away from here and put myself down somewhere else. Hine archik nedod. Behold, I would wander far away from where I am because just the situation now is totally unbearable. Alin bamidbar. If need be, I would go and let and rest and lie down in the middle of the desert. Stella. And there. Where no one's going to bother me. Right? And this is very extreme. Again, if you compare or contrast these past couple of psukim with the previous kapitel Tehillim, the previous kapitel Tehillim described a situation where he's running away from Shaul HaMelech, who wants to kill him, and his own countrymen, his own brethren, have basically betrayed him. And you still don't find any of the extreme phrases which you find in this kapitel Tehillim. In the previous kapitel, again, just by way of contrast, so David HaMelech says, yeah, they're after me, Hashem help me out. But he doesn't describe the sense of, right, of inner desperation, of fear, of, you know, terror which surrounds me. I wish I could get out of here, right? He sounds very, very desperate in this kapitel. And it leads you to the conclusion that obviously whatever he's wrestling with here is far, far worse than being pursued by Shaul HaMelech. Right? So that's a little clue right off the bat as to what this might be talking about. Essentially, say the Mefarshim, and again, this is universal among the Mefarshim, the context of this chapter of Tehillim is when Avshalom, David's own son, rebels against David HaMelech, kicks him out of Yerushalayim. David is forced to flee from Yerushalayim to the other side of the Jordan River, to the eastern side of the Jordan. And basically, David is being pursued by his own son and removed from his kingdom, not as someone who's it's not that David is being chased by Shaul when David aspires to the throne. David has been sitting on the throne for decades, and in his old age is pursued by his own son. So certainly we understand that fills up David with a tremendous sense of fear and desperation, but it's not even that which is the focus of the kapitel, not even the fact that he's being betrayed by his son, which again is a terribly disturbing thing, but the Mefarshim say there's someone else whose betrayal hits David HaMelech incredibly hard. Let's keep reading. Achisha miflat li. I hasten to a place where I can be secure. Right? Which, again, if you put that into context, David HaMelech has to flee Yerushalayim, right? As described in the two previous psukim. I wish that I had wings like a dove and I could just fly somewhere else. Unfortunately, he more or less has to do that. He does have to flee Yerushalayim. So I rush to find miflat li, to find a place where I will be secure. Meruach soa, misar, a place where I can be secure from a stormy wind, from a tempest. Bala adokoi, Hashem, swallow them up. Palad lishonam, break their tongues into two so that they can't speak against me anymore. Kiroisi chamos v'riv bo'ir, because I have seen violence and fighting in the city. What city is he talking about? Yerushalayim. In other words, Yerushalayim has been taken over by the enemy. Avshalom and his men have taken over Yerushalayim. Some of the Mefarshim say, you know, like all good revolutionaries, Avshalom has dissent in his own ranks, right? You know, no sooner do the communists throw the Tsar out of Russia than the communists are fighting among themselves as to who's going to take over, right? That's the way of all good revolutionaries. You know, Baruch Hashem, not only are we content to throw out the previous ruler, but we like to fight among ourselves, you know, after we take over, Baruch Hashem. So that's what's going on over here as well, so some of the Mefarshim. Chamas v'riv bo'ir, right? There's fighting in the city. You know, even after they kicked me, David HaMelech, out, There's fighting within Avshalom's camp. There are various factions as to who's going to ultimately you know, rise to the top. But imagine David HaMelech spent his life building up Yerushalayim. He conquered Yerushalayim for the Jewish people. And now he has this sad fate of being forced to leave Yerushalayim and watching as Yerushalayim is transformed into a place of violence and fighting. Yomam v'laylo yisovivuha al chomoseha. Day and night, they surround it on its walls. Right? That could mean the soldiers surround Yerushalayim to make sure that people like me don't get back in. Or it could mean that the fighting and the violence surround Yerushalayim. V'oven v'omol b'kirba. But if you go into Yerushalayim, there's only iniquity and evil inside of the city. Havos b'kirba. There is violence inside of the city. There is destruction inside of the city. And something that never departs from the streets of Yerushalayim now is a sense of deceit and guile. Right? So he's describing Yerushalayim, the city which, again, we know is supposed to be a city of love, you know, a city of brotherly love. But, you know, Yerushalayim ki ir shechubra lo yachtov, right? The pasuk elsewhere describes Yerushalayim as a place where people come together. It's supposed to be a place of unity, and yet it's been transformed into a place of infighting, of guile, of destruction. I can't deal with it. And here come the psukim that illustrate what really bothers David HaMelech. Ki lo oyev yicharfeini. It's not the normal enemy who has cursed me. If it was that, I'd be able to bear it. It wasn't a person who's normally one of my foes who has risen up against me. If that was the case, I would just hide away from him. In other words, I know how to deal with enemies. I'm a king. I've been a king for decades. I know how to deal with people who give me a hard time. That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is the atah, that you, the one who has risen up against me, is enosh ke'erki. You are a man who is on my level. Alufi. You are my teacher. Umiyudai. And you are the one who instructs me in things. Asher yachdov namtik sod. Together, we used to go and congregate in a way that was sweet. Beveis Elokim nehalech birogesh. In the house of God, we would go to the house of God together to be as one, as a group. Now, who are we talking about over here? So, Chazal say, again, the Mefarshim explain over here. Oh, so the Mefarshim say over here, and again, this is really in Chazal, that we're actually not talking about Avshalom over here. In other words, even though you would think that, you know, my son has rebelled against me, that's such a, you know, a slap in the face, how could I possibly manage with that? But you'd be hard-pressed to explain Pasuk Yudalit. You're my teacher. You're my instructor. Avshalom was his son. Okay, that's a terrible, terrible thing. But Avshalom wasn't his instructor in some way. Say the Mefarshim, starting with Chazal, David HaMelech was so perturbed by the betrayal of Achisophel. Who is Achisophel? So Achisophel, the psukim tell us, was an incredibly wise man. That's Achimatz, I think you're thinking of. If Yasser, there were a bunch of Kohanim. But Achisophel was an incredibly wise man who was David's advisor. And when Avshalom rebelled against David HaMelech, Achisophel switched sides to join forces with Avshalom. Not only was Achisophel David's advisor in a military sense, but Chazal understand, based on these psukim, Achisophel, in a sense, was David's Rebbe. And they learned Torah together, and Achisophel taught David Torah. That's Beveis Elokim, the Halech Berogesh. In the house of God, we go as a group, meaning we sit down and we learn in the Beis Medrash together. And in fact, say Chazal, that one of the things that Achisofel taught David HaMelech was that it's not good to learn by yourself, you need to learn as a group. Let's learn together, Achisofel says to David. Now, we're going to be actually be quoting, for those who learn Pirkei Avos during the summer months, or even during the winter months, we'll be quoting this Pasuk and Chazal's explanation in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, right? So just hang in there a couple of weeks and we'll get there, right? Chazal tell us there in Pirkei Avos that if a person learns from someone else, even os achas, even a single letter, chayiv linog bo kavod, right? He has to treat that person with respect. Shekein David lalamad me'achisofel ela shnei dvarim. Because we find that David HaMelech only learned two things from Achisofel, ukiro'o rabo alufo umiyodo'o. And David referred to Achisofel as his Rebbe, his teacher and his instructor, shene'emar, as it says, vi'ato enosh ke'erki alufi umiyodo'i. It quotes our pasuk over here. Right, so it's very clear from that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that Chazal understood that the person who's being referred to in this pasuk is Avshalom, is Achisofel rather, and it's that accounts for the frustration of David HaMelech. Here's my Rebbe, and my Rebbe goes over to the other side to join up with my son to throw me out of Yerushalayim and try to depose me from the kingship.
What motivates? Is it just you want to side with the winner?
Right. So I mean, the way Chazal and the Mefarshim portray Achisofel, much like Doeg HaAdomi, was that he was a man who was incredibly smart, but and incredibly learned and erudite. But being smart, learned, and erudite doesn't mean that you're pious, right? And Achisofel, with all that he knew, he could quote, he could argue, he could move his thumb like the best of them. But there was something very rotten at his core, and you know that just came out. You know, in the end of the day. You know, just because you know a lot doesn't make you into a Talmud Chacham. There are personal traits that go beyond just the book knowledge, and you know, Doeg is an example of that, and Achisofel is an example of that. But David takes this betrayal very, very hard, and that's what's being described over here. I can't. Kilo ayev yicharfeni ve'esa. You're not a regular enemy. You're not someone who's out to get me. You're my Rebbe. I mean, imagine, you know, the Rebbe who's been teaching you in Shir, all of a sudden, at the end of the term, you know, sits you down and says, by the way, I want to throw you out of your job and kill you. Oh, okay. So what's on the agenda for tomorrow? You know, so it pierces to the very core of David HaMelech's being. Let's just see the continuation. We'll finish up in a couple of minutes. Yashi Mavis Aleimo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put death upon them. Yeredu Sha'ol Chayim, let them go down alive to the grave. Kiros B'Meguram B'Kirbam, because wherever they are in their midst is evil. Ani El Elokim Ekra, I call out to Elokim, the strict judge, the Yud Ke Vav Ke Yoshieni, but Hashem in His mercy will save me. Why is Hashem in His mercy going to save me? Because as opposed to the Zifim, where David HaMelech said, you know, I feel like I'm the strong moral ground, David HaMelech says, you know, I don't feel that Achisofel is right morally, but you know what? The man has a lot of Blat Gemara under his belt, so to speak. Maybe I need to pull a divine mercy over here, because maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is going to support him in his attack against me. This is my Rebbe, right? You know, he has so many schusim, he has so many merits behind him. Erev avoker v'tzoraim osicho v'em. I call out to God and I moan evening, morning, and afternoon. I daven three times a day. Vayishmakoli. And Hashem listens to my voice. Pada v'shalom nafshi. God has redeemed my soul in peace. mikrav li, from the war that has come upon me. Ki virabim hayu imadi, because God recognizes that the multitudes, the masses, are together with me. Right? In other words, I have people on my side. I myself may, the implication is, I myself may not be worthy of being saved, but there's so many people who are depending on me to continue in my role as Melech Yisrael, that, you know, the schus, the merit of the masses, is standing me in good stead over here. Yishmakel, Hashem, listen to them, to those masses who depend upon me. V'ya'anem, and you will answer them. V'yoshev kedem selah, asher ein chalifos lama. And you, Hashem, will return the one who sat before. You will turn me to my prior throne. Asher ein chalifos lama, and punish those people who don't think about their day of chalifos, their day of passing. These people who are against me have no sense of their own fate, of their own mortality, and they fight against me, not realizing that one day they're going to have to give an accounting for their actions. V'lo yaru Elokim, they fear not God. Shol, we go back to Achisophel again. Sholach Yodov Bishlomov. That man Achisophel, he stretched forth his hand against those who were with, who were at peace with him. In other words, I had no argument. I had no bone to pick with Achisophel. He started off with me. Chilel briso. He violated the covenant that he had with me. I'm his friend. I'm his Talmud. I'm together with him. Cholku machmaos piv. The words of his mouth are smooth like butter. He talked the good talk. Ukrav libo, but inside of his heart is war, is battle. Raku dvarov mishemen, the words that he would say to me were softer and lighter than oil. Vehema psichos, but these words which he said to me are really like swords. You know, he talked a good talk, but in the end he was ready to stab me in the back. All I can say is as follows: Hashleich al Hashem Yahavcha. Throw your burden on Yudke Vavke, on Hashem. V'hu yichal kelecha. He will take care of you. Lo yitein le'olam mot latzadik. God will never allow the tzaddik in the end of the day to falter. I may be driven out of Yerushalayim, but I have faith that Hashem is going to bring me back. As for those who betrayed me, v'ato Elokim, taridim liver shachas. Hashem, God of justice, bring them down to the deepest pit. Anshei damir umirma. They are people of blood, people who are out for blood, people of guile and deceit. Lo yechsu yemeyem. Let them not even pass out half of their days. Let their days be cut in half. V'ani evtach bach. As for me, I put my trust in you, Hashem, that you will ultimately save me and protect me. A tremendous sense of frustration that you have here in the Kapitel Tehillah. Right? Occasionally, I mean, we shouldn't wish for such things, but occasionally we feel that, you know, we're getting the short end of the stick in life, and davka those who we thought were on our side, who were most poised to protect us and to be there for us, turn around and stab us in the back and betray us in the most terrible of ways. Right? Again, we shouldn't know from such things, but they happen. Dov and Achisophel was not the last time that kind of situation happened, and you know, many of us may have experienced that in our own lives. This Kapitel Tehillim, you know, is a particularly poignant chapter to address those kinds of feelings, to remind the person that in the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect the tzaddik, and in the end of the day, the person who pretends to be your friend while trying to stab you in the back, in the end of the day, you know, is going to get their just deserts for what they did. The Pasuk tells us in Sefer Shmuel that when Achisophel realized that Avshalom was going to lose the battle, as described there in the Tanakh, basically he went home and he hanged himself. You know, he committed suicide because he saw it was all going to be over, and you know, he died in an ignominious end. You know, we're not wishing that on anybody, but certainly the tide turned, and David, who thought that all was lost, but you know, nonetheless, put his trust in the Ribbono Shalom and said, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out well, but I trust that Hashem is going to make it work out well. In the end of the day, David is restored to Yerushalayim, and you know, continues to establish the dynasty which comes from David HaMelech. So this capital gives us that sense of hope that, you know, even when we're betrayed by those we think are closest to us, we always have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to upon whom to rely. We will, Bez Hashem, again, as I mentioned, pick up next week 8:30, so it's a little bit later, and we'll try also just to also finish probably around this time, and we will pick up Bez Hashem next week with Kapitel Nunva. See everybody then.